Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to stand here in this pulpit tonight and minister to your people. If you were not here this morning, you missed a great opportunity to get some information that can set you free. We were talking this morning about authority issues, and I got back in my room this afternoon, and I'm never lacking for something to preach, obviously. After 43 years, you know, you can come up with something. But I just didn't want to come up with anything. I believe I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, just go ahead and continue on talking about some of the principles in regard to authority issues. Authority means authorization. You've been authorized. The word authority over in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, all authority was given unto him both in heaven and earth.
Yes.
That word authority comes from the Greek word exousia, exousia. And exousia, if you study it out, is the right to use dunamis. Dunamis is power. Many times in the scriptures, if you're not, just notice sometimes the word authority and power be translated, you know, sometimes it's translated power and it should have been authority. But authority and power are two different things. Authority is the right to use dunamis. All power, listen to me, all power is in God. And all power is in his word. Are you listening? And it's important, you know, I love that song we sang tonight, Our God, He Can Move the Mountains. But you know, really and truly, what God wants you to do, he wants you to move the mountains. And there's only one way you can move obstacles that are in your pathway that are hindering or impeding your progress to where God is taking you. Now listen to me, now we live in a demonic infested world. So there are going to be tests, there's going to be troubles and there are trials in this world.
Right.
We're never ever going to find a place where we'll never have a test, trouble, and trial. There's not a place in God that you can get so faithy that you'll never have another test or trial. I used to tell our people back when Brother Hagin was alive, you could, you know, if you were blessed to be able to move into Brother Hagin's house, you know, and just get real intimate and real close to Brother Hagin and fellowship and so forth, that doesn't mean you would escape test, troubles, and trials. Are you listening? Because last time I checked, Brother Hagin, where he lived in Tulsa, was in the world. Amen. So test, troubles, and trials are going to come to people who live on planet Earth.
Yes, they are.
And the test, troubles, and trials are not from God. Test, troubles, and trials are not to teach you things. Test, troubles, and trials are designed to disrupt things.
Uh-oh.
They're designed to get you off track.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if whatever has your attention will affect your direction. And that's why God's word has got to have your attention. That's why you got to renew your mind every day with the word of God. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to pray in the Holy Spirit. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you got to renew your mind with the Word of God. And then you got to position yourself like coming to a local church that's teaching the Word of God so you can be taught the Word of God, so you can get insights into how the kingdom of that's come from heaven functions. Most Christians do not understand how the kingdom that's come from heaven functions. But Jesus came to teach us, and he prayed this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Now I want you to know there's no demon activity going on in heaven. There's nobody that's bound by the trespasses and sins in heaven. There's nobody bound by sickness and disease or poverty in heaven. And Jesus said you ought to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if there's none of that going on in heaven, God doesn't want it going on in your life. Now, just because he doesn't want it to go on doesn't mean that the devil who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy won't try to come in and overcome you and come in and invade your life and your home and try to bind you. He will try to put you in bondage. And he'll use tests, troubles, and trials. He'll use all kinds of thoughts. You got to be careful of who's influencing you. You got to be careful. Who are you listening to? If you listen to the wrong people, I'm telling you, that can get you over here and get you going the wrong direction. And that's what we're saying, that whoever has your attention will affect your direction. And that's why you've got to go back to the Word of God. You've got to go back and get in the presence of God. And that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. Listen to me. If we're not in control, God's not in control. It's just that simple. Oh, God, you're in control. Not of your life. If you're not in control of your life, God's not in control of your life. But God gives you the weapons. God gives you everything. He gives you insights into how his kingdom functions. And everything that involves his kingdom and your participation in that kingdom, God has given you everything. He's given you his ability. That's what grace is. He gives you his ability to be able to walk that out and stay the course. So circumstances, situations, difficulties, people will not be able to defeat you. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures and we can quote, and I know many of you quote them, but I like that one that Paul talked about to the church of Corinth. He always leads us in triumph. Amen. Aren't you glad? He leads us in triumph. Amen. Even before we go into the battle, we've already been declared the winner. But you know what? The devil's going to try to get you to look to the right and look to the left and get you all focused on the circumstances and make you forget who you are. And that's why he's always fought. The devil's always sidetracked Christians. He's always sidetracked believers by making them forget who they are. But if you will be fully persuaded, and you just absolutely, positively will not let circumstances, situation, difficulties, people, thoughts come against you and make you forget who you are. You are can doers. You're not can't doers. The Bible says we're can doers. Well, I can't do that. You're right. You can't. But the greater one's in you. And he will enable you. If you'll track with him, walk with him, trust in him, do what he tells you to do, he will enable you to do what you're supposed to do. Amen. These blessings that we've been blessed with don't fall on us like ripe cherries falling off a tree. Brother Hagin, you said it all the time. They don't just automatically come upon us. They are a byproduct of our obedience. They're a byproduct of our obedience. And what we've got to do now, we've got to position ourselves for receptivity so we can get information. I call it revelation, so we can get some revelation. Revelation knowledge, two kinds of knowledge, sense knowledge. Knowledge is acquired through the senses. And then there's revelation knowledge. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. And that's why you've got to catch the spirit. The word has to be taught. But the spirit of the word has to be caught. And it's what you do on a daily basis that will determine if you're able to catch the spirit. You know, there's some, you know, I wasn't any great athlete. I had athlete's feet a couple of times. But I just know, you know, before we went out, this when we were young. 16, 17, 18, we did calisthenics. We did stretching. So you wouldn't pull a muscle, you know. We'd do calisthenics. We'd kind of run through plays and so forth, preparing, you know, what we may face on the field and so forth, and just do preparations. So when we got into the battle, you know, we got into the heat of the battle, praise God, we would be prepared, we'd be ready. You know you got to do spiritual calisthenics. Some people watch TV all the time and they don't prepare themselves and they come to church. And, well, I didn't get much from Pastor's sermon today. Well, that pew didn't either. But I'll guarantee you, if you prepared yourself in advance, you're going to get something from the Word of God. You're going to get something from the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God and the Spirit of God are designed to minister life to you. To meet you at your point of need, to assist you, to help you. It's amazing when you preach a message like I preached this morning. We had feedback from several people come and so forth. And people are at different levels in their walk with God. But it doesn't matter what level you're on, the Spirit of God has got your number. And He knows how to come in there and just latch a hold of you because you positioned yourself for receptivity. You got dressed and you came out. Amen. Sang some worship songs this morning with us and opened up your heart, praise God, and made it possible for the Spirit of God to come and begin to minister to you.
Yes.
And that's why you can minister sometimes you can minister on finances and people get saved. Why? Because the Word is Spirit and it's life. It is designed to draw people in so that they can come. Your help is in God. And so you got to renew your mind with the Word of God. You need to stir yourself up and pray in the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to be in a prayer service to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray, worship, minister to the Lord in song. Amen. The Holy Spirit's a singing spirit. Amen. God puts songs in your heart, and if you ever let the devil steal your song, He'll steal your victory. Don't ever lose your song. Amen. And just singing in the shower, singing drive down the highway, it doesn't matter where you're at, you can minister to the Lord because He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy, praise God. So you just put yourself in remembrance of God. And I tell you what, when you honor God, God will honor you. When you pleasure God, God will pleasure you. God's not a party pooper. He didn't want to rain on your picnic. He's not a taker. He's a giver. Come on, somebody. God will do better for you than you'd ever do for yourself. Amen. So you just practice the presence of God. Just give yourself to God. And just be open and say, God, whatever it is I have need of today. Every day I get on my knees and say, God, I need you more today than I did yesterday. I've been pastoring. I've been working with God now for 43 and a half years. But I need God today more than I did 43 and a half years ago. And I'm here to tell you, I needed Him really bad 43 and a half years ago.
Yes.
But we've never walked this way before. Never walked this way before. What we're facing in our culture, we've not faced this before. Now, there have been similar situations in days gone by, and we can read about them. And we know whatever the devil throws at us, the Lord is greater than all of the works of darkness. And God's the only one that He can excel what He did yesterday. Isn't that wonderful? So, I mean, you talk about great triumphs of old when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. Wow. He can do greater than that today.
Absolutely.
And so you need to read about His past mighty acts so you know that God is never caught in a position, put in a corner, where He cannot find you a way out. There is no temptation, no test, no trial that is not common to man, that God will not, with the temptation, make way of escape. That sounds like a scripture. Like 1 Corinthians 10:13, eh? He will, with the temptation, make way of escape.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, trials will come, tests will come, hard times will come, but remember, they're designs to break your focus. So when the devil intensifies, you intensify. Hmm? When he creates a little more disruption, you just kind of go over there and just pray a little louder so you can disrupt him. Amen. You praying in the Holy Ghost, you quoting the word, speaking the word, that puts confusion into the camp of the enemy. The devil can only operate in the midst of confusion. He can't operate in the midst of peace. So you're responsible for your environment. You're responsible for your environment. You're responsible for it. And that's why we need to speak the word of God, and we need to create an atmosphere of peace, because peace creates an environment for God to do miracles.
Yes.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, guys, in the world, and the Bible tells us this, so I don't know why we're shocked. The Bible says the closer to the coming of the Lord, it's going to be perilous.
Yeah.
Hard to deal with. That word perilous means hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And you know what's hard to deal with? Because the people in the day in which we live are hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know why they're hard to deal with? They're utterly self-centered. They're utterly self-centered. They don't want to follow. They don't want to submit. They don't. They don't want to be corrected. They don't. Utterly self-centered. And so they're opportunist. And they'll be over here, maybe in the perfect will of God. I see people that have come in and they're in the perfect will of God. We got people that have come around them and they're discipling them and they're helping them and they're giving them attention and they're trying to build some stuff into their life. And some opportunity that, you know, is glittering out there. Everything glitters in gold. And some opportunity out there, and they'll just take off and run and leave all of this security, all this help. They'll leave it all and run over here to chase this opportunity, and then they'll start trying to tell us how wonderful it is what they found. But you see those people a few months later, a year later or something, they crash and they burn. Some of them are so full of pride that they want to come back and repent. They'll just keep on going somewhere else because they haven't learned how to put themselves, position themselves for receptivity so they can hear from God. We got to hear from God. We got to hear from God. And we talked about this morning, the purpose of the local church is not just to give you information. Right? Not just, what you need is not information. Some people are so full of information, it's really a detriment to them. Because knowledge puffeth up. Isn't that what the Bible says? Knowledge puffeth up. But what you need wisdom. Because wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge. See, understanding is key. You need to get understanding. And right on the heels of understanding is revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. Yeah. Just read it in your Bible. It's there. Right on the heels mm-hmm. of understanding is knowledge and wisdom. And God's got, he knows everything you need to know. Amen. He knows everything you need to know. Now, I want you to think about this. God's already, he's got an assignment for everybody. Nobody ever caught God off guard when he was born. He knew your name from the foundation of the earth. So there's no accidents. So praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody might have forgot about you, but God never knew, forget about you. And so he has a plan for your life. And every person that was ever conceived, everybody say conceived.
Conceived.
Life begins at conception.
Right.
If you know God, you know that. If you know humanism, you don't know that. Isn't that right? Life doesn't start when you come out of your mother's womb. Life begins at conception. And at conception, God endowed you with gifts. He put his DNA in you. He's got his, every person ever born were born and endowed with gifts from God. And those gifts have to do with everything that has to do with your assignment. This is truth. I know a lot of people haven't been taught, a lot of people don't know this, but it's better late than never. You're never too old to discover your assignment. Smith Wigglesworth was, well, he was pretty old. Well, we don't call 50s old anymore. Come on, somebody. Come on, very young man. But 50s is a long time to wait to discover your assignment. Isn't that right? But you know the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So once he made that discovery in his 50s, well, he shook the world, didn't he? Smith Wigglesworth. If you never read about him, you need to buy some books and read about Smith Wigglesworth, apostle of faith. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Wasn't hardly anybody ever walked planet Earth like Smith Wigglesworth. But you know, how much better would it be to discover that when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, right in there. Before you make a decision, who am I going to marry? Before you make a decision, what am I going to do with my post-secondary, you know, training? Graduated from high school now. What am I going to do now, post-secondary training? What am I going to do now? Do I go to Bible school? You know, what do I do? What do I do? Do I go to vocational school? What do I do with my assignment? Or I just go to university and just get me a degree. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That one. Pin the tail on the donkey. We'll get that one. You know, I've met all kinds of people in my ministry. They gave many years to their education only to discover it had nothing to do with their assignment. And they spent thousands and thousands of dollars. And they spent years and years and years of their time. Time's the most valuable commodity we have. And spent years and years of their time seeking something that was never a plan of God to begin with. Now, see, it's never too late. I mean, if that's you, don't give up and don't quit. Well, I missed it. No. God's a way maker, and God will just connect on like he did with Wigglesworth in his 50. He'll just connect on with you and take you from there. Isn't that good? But the highest and best is position yourself as early as you can to get the information you need so that you can begin to get a grasp and an understanding of what life's all about, what marriage is all about. Huh? What politics is all about. You know, on and on, what money's all about. Apart from God, you can't find the purpose and the meaning of stuff. Only God can give you that insight. Now, this is basic. This is Christianity 101, but I guarantee you it's the basics that we're tripping over. Good athletes, you know what? They have to be taken back. If they get out there and just hone in on their skills, how they can catch a pass, you know, or how they can run a play and so forth, and they forget the basics, you know what? They'll eventually go downhill. Even though they're really talented. It's the basics. We got to stick with the basics. That's what I like about this man of God. He understands that people need the basics. We need the basics. And if we'll stick with that, praise God, then God will help us find our way.
Yes, He will.
He'll help us find our way. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And you know, in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, that's the best time in the world to say, okay, it's time for me to get it right now. It's time for me to get right. I'm not going to keep going around this again, this same old mountain over and over and over again. It's time for me to get it right. And if I'm going to get it right now, I need to repent and I need to humble myself and I need to give myself to God. And I got to go somewhere we're in God's choosing and submit myself to a local church where there's a New Testament pastor where I can submit myself and be taught so I can gain understanding. That's really true, guys. I said, that's really true. And if we'll get that, then God can take us where we need to go. Our problem is we know what we want, but we don't know what we need. But God is the only one that can supply our need. It's a beautiful thing now when you make discoveries and God reveals things to you and you love those things and you start wanting what God wants. That's a beautiful thing. And after you mature in your walk with God, you can come to that place where you want what God wants for the same reason He wants it. For the same reason He wants it. But starting out, you know what you want, but you don't really know what you need. Isn't that right? And so that's why a good local church, like we have here at Calvary Cathedral International, with a man of God and leadership like we have here in this house, will help us, praise God, gain understanding so we can find our way. Submitting to authority is what we talked about this morning, and I want to kind of just step off from that and say some things, I believe, by the Spirit of God to where He wants to take us tonight. Submitting to authority always takes precedent over understanding. Submitting to authority takes precedent over understanding. Understanding is important, but obedience, submitting to authority, is more important than understanding. We can say it this way. Obedience is more important than understanding. So we can say it that way. Obedience is more important than understanding. I remember, well, just today at lunch, Pastor, we were talking. And you were talking about your father. And he was just saying, there's just some things that you don't understand right now, but you just need to do them. That's a great truth. I remember one day I was preaching in my church in Canada. And God talks to me at all times because I give Him permission to. And I'm preaching and God corrects me while I'm preaching. And you know what He's correcting me about? My parenting. He's correcting me about my parenting. And I'm up here preaching, minding my own business, helping the people, preaching what He told me to preach. And all of a sudden, He just quickens a corrective word to me. So I went home immediately after church. We had our usually Sunday meal. Got the dishes done. We had Sunday night service. We always took happy hour, that nap. And I said, okay, today we're not going to do happy hour. We let our son, he went and took happy hour, but our daughters, We said, no, we're not going to take a nap, my wife, myself. And I said, I've got to repent to you. And I'm doing this because of what the Lord told me while I was in the pulpit. And what I had done is I was issuing, and had been for some time, some instructions to my teenage daughters. And I was instructing her in a certain way. And she would say, Daddy, but I don't understand.
And so I was having to explain to her for 30 minutes. And I thought, I'm being a really good parent. And I'm explaining to her the wisdom of doing what I'm telling her to do so she can get understanding, so she can obey. And the Lord spoke to me and says, you're not doing your daughter a favor. She's going to put understanding above obedience. And obedience is more important than understanding. You ought to write that down. Obedience is more important than understanding. So I said, yeah, I repent because I've allowed that to take place. But I tell you, it's not going to happen anymore. So when I give you an instruction from here on, don't you ask me to explain it to you. Don't ask me for understanding. You just say, yes, Dad, I trust you, and I will do it. And then I said, maybe later on, if you want to sit down and talk to me about it, then I'll talk to you about it. But I'm not going to explain it to you before I require you to obey. Now, I already know people are, you know, they're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. So let me read some scripture to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Can we look there in Matthew 7? This is New Testament. In fact, it's even Jesus talking. Matthew 7, verse 21. Say, thank God for the word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now listen to what the Message Bible says. Listen to this. Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. What is required? Serious obedience. How many times has God told us things to do, Pastor, and we didn't have the understanding, but we knew we had to go do it? Now see, once you put your trust in God and you get a revelation of His character, then you don't have any problem in obeying. And if you're a proper parent, like God trained me to be, then my daughter didn't have any reason in the world to doubt the wisdom of the instruction that I was giving her. She didn't have any reason because she knew I had her best interest at heart. I was doing this for her, not to her. And in many situations, I was helping her to be able to ascertain the voice of God and do the will of God without being influenced by all of our peers. And that's where the question was coming from, because she was concerned about what her peers were going to say about the instruction I was giving her. So, Dad, I just don't understand. Well, we're going to do what Pastor Nichols' dad said. You don't need to understand right now. You need to just obey. And that's what Jesus said. What is required is serious obedience. You got that? That's pretty good scripture, isn't it? Now there's more. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Look with me in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 46, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Listen to this. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Now, you know, the average person who reads the Bible reads that, and they blink their eyes like a frog in a West Texas hailstorm and just keep reading, and they don't get any understanding of what he just said right here. But the Message Bible helps us. Listen to what the Message Bible says in verse 50. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys my Heavenly Father's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother. What is he saying?
He's saying you can call yourself a Christian, and that's wonderful, but just calling yourself a Christian won't do it. You got to be an obedient Christian. Being a Christian means that you've submitted your will to the will of your Heavenly Father, and Jesus is your Lord. You know, we sing that, you are Lord, you are Lord. And we talk about the Lordship of Jesus in our life, but the vast majority of Christianity do not submit to the Lordship of Jesus in their life. They make decisions and they never, ever consult Jesus about those decisions. They make plans and they never, ever pray or consult Jesus about their choices and their decisions. They make decisions and they never, ever go and submit it to their man of God. Most of them come and announce to us and tell you what they're going to do. And if you don't put the rubber stamp on what they're going to do, they get mad at you and say you're a control freak. Now, I know people don't like this. I know people don't like it. But you know what? If we'll obey, we'll eat the best that the earth yields. If you be willing, that's what God said through Isaiah back in chapter 1. He said to Isaiah, he said, if you be willing and obedient, if you'll obey me with a will, you will eat the best that the earth yields. That's like saying, Pastor, what Pastor says, God will do better for you than you'd ever do for yourself. You won't ever have to be concerned about how you're going to make it. We've gone all over the world and we've never had to be concerned about how we're going to make it. We always go first class. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good? God connects us with the right people. God's connected us to the right places. We're in the right place at the right time. Because we consult God and we let Him direct our paths. You know God, when you get to know God, you know His nature and you know His character. God is a God who prepares in advance. Now, people today love spontaneity. And the Holy Spirit can be spontaneous. He can. But it's an exception and not a rule. But most people want to live with that spontaneity. Because they call everything else we're doing is boring. I don't think it's boring to secure my future before I get there. There's nothing boring about that. Preparation is not wasted time. Preparation is helping me to secure my future before I get there. And when I get there, praise God, everything's going to be like it needs to be. So that's why I've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. Why do you think you're filled with the Holy Ghost? So you can go, yala basata la bakoto? Huh? Is that it? No. The reason why you're filled with the Holy Spirit is so you can sensitize your spirit to the Holy Spirit so you can be led by God. God wants to lead you. But you got to know His voice. And that's another great problem. People can't ascertain the voice of God. Because there's a zillion voices vying for your attention. But that's why you got to train yourself. You got to learn to pull yourself apart. Come on. You got to learn to still yourself in the presence of God. You got to learn to still yourself in the presence. It's a learned behavior. It's something you can do, just like you learn to control your appetite. Or you learn to discipline yourself to get up to do things. You know, lifestyles requires discipline. But at some point in time, it's got to get beyond disciplined. Or you won't be able to keep it up. But if you will live a disciplined life long enough, it will become habitual and it will just become automatic. It'll be a lifestyle. I said it will become a lifestyle. You know, just like Charlie going to the drug dealer or the beverage center, you know, every day, or drug dealer every Friday. That was a learned behavior. And it took disciplines to start that off, but after a while it became habitual. He didn't have to think about it. It's like a bear headed for the woods. We know where Charlie's going. Come on, somebody.
Right.
You do not decide your future. You decide your habits, and your habits decide your future. And that's why, listen to me, that's why you've got to get yourself in the presence of God, and you've got to ascertain His voice. You've got to hear His voice so God can speak to you. And then when He speaks to you, say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will do that. And you know what He'll do? He will grace you. That means He gives you His divine enablements. He'll give you His ability to do it. We couldn't do what we do without God's enablement. We couldn't stay the course. We couldn't put up with all the pressure and the stress that comes against, you know, people on the front lines 24/7. You couldn't do that without the grace of God upon your life. That's why I don't work for God. That's why I work with God. I'm not out ahead of Him, running out there on my own. No, 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 no. I'm working with Him. And when I work with Him, then praise God, I'm secure, because I know for me to fail, He'd have to fail. He can't fail. Now see, some people think, well, those are just religious cliches. Well, they could be to you, but they're not to me. This is reality to me. This is the way we live. And we've lived this way. We face death. We face financial almost on the natural run. We face difficult situations that didn't look like there was a way out. But God's a way maker. And God makes a way where there seems to be no way. So the devil is trying to get me to panic. But if I won't panic and I'll keep my trust in the Lord, and I'll just keep calling on the name of the Lord, and I'll just keep giving myself to the Word of God, renewing my mind with the Word of God, God will speak to me and say, this is the way out. It is one of the most simplest. It is as simple as taking another step. It's like Peter, you know, he was locked up in prison. They were going to behead him. They were going to kill him. He was on assignment. Man, the angel of the Lord came down there, just took the chains and the fetters off him, opened the gates, walked him right out. Come on, somebody. If you're on assignment with God, God's got a way of escape. He's got a way to take you where you need to go so you can do what you need to do. Isn't that great?
Amen. Good word. Good word. Praise God. Good word.
Praise you, Jesus. I've got a lot. But I want to, we're not going to be lengthy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't get concerned. I'm okay. What you really got to be careful of in this age are people who refuse to submit. They could be family members. They could be church acquaintances. They refuse to submit. They refuse to stand under. They refuse to receive correction. And you got to be very careful that even though they are dear friends and you count them as dear friends, that you love God and you love God's ways more than you love them. And if push comes to shove, if they walk and get off the bus like we talked this morning, you don't have to go get off the bus with them. In other words, you don't follow them. That's why you need to know where you're called. Because if you know where you're called, it takes all the guesswork out of it. I know I'm following Him. And if He didn't exit, then I ain't going to exit. Hello? If He didn't make a sharp left, I'm not going to make a sharp left. Come on. If he's not panicked, I ain't going to panic. Everybody else said, this is going under. It's not going to make it. Boy, I've had a ton of those critters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're going down. They're going down. And they look at me, and they don't see any concern with me. So they took courage from me. But the people that followed them left with them, and then they scratched their head 2, 3, 5, 10 years later, why we didn't go down. We can't go under for going over.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, the academy is going to close. No, the academy is not going to close. Church is going downhill. It's not going to make it. No, the church is not going to. The church is not going to go downhill. We're going to make it. Amen. And so I've got to be a leader in what I do. I lead by example. Lead by precept and example. And that when I walk in, they don't see any panic on my face. They don't see any worry or concern on me. And I sing and worship God just like I did last week and last month. And I just keep magnifying the Lord. And I keep coming to early morning prayer. And I just keep doing those things that we've been doing all along. And then people just, they get rest. The devil wants to create restlessness. The devil tries to create restlessness. But if the leader is not restless, then the sheep won't get restless. If the leader gets up and said, all is well, then we say, it is well. Huh? It is well. It is well. It doesn't mean we don't have a problem. It is well, though, because we're connected to a problem solver. We're connected to somebody, praise God, who's led us this far by faith, and he's not going to lead us out here to let me drown. He's not going to do it. Do you know that about God? Well, let's don't forget that. But you've got to be careful about people who refuse to submit. Now, listen to me. Satan uses these kind of people for the purpose of breaking people away from their leader. Everything rises or falls on leadership. And without a godly leader in your life, the Bible says you will lose your way. This is not Pastor Nichols, you know, saying, or Keith Johnson saying, this is the Bible. This is what the Word of God says. People lose their way without leadership. Without wise leadership, people lose their way. That says it in the Proverbs. Without wise leadership, people lose their way. And that's why God hates rebellion so much, because it's what it does to people. It's what it does to people. And rebellion is self-will. That's what it is. Self-will. And you know what? People that have self-will, they'll have a zillion reasons why they did it their way instead of doing it God's way. They'll have reasons. But do you know you got reasons to break your marriage vows, but you don't have a right to make them, break them? I said you don't have a right. If you're a Christian and you're a born-again child of God, you do not have a right to break your marriage vows. Come on, somebody. You may have a reason to gossip about that person, but if you're a born-again child of God being led by the Holy Ghost, you don't have a right to gossip about that person. You may have all kinds of reasons to find faults with the church, but listen to me. If you're a born-again child of God, you're a member of this church, you don't have a right to be a fault finder. I like something that T.L. Osborne said years ago. Years ago, 30, 40 years ago, I heard this. He said, when you move to a community, he said, you may complain about that community before you get there. But once you get there, you don't have a right to complain about it because you're a part of the solution. And you got to make up your mind. Are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? If you're a part of the problem, you're going to be a fault finder. If you're a part of the solution, you're going to pray. You're going to be a gap stander instead of a gap finder. God says, I choose for people to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. But I couldn't find anybody. So he's looking for people who will be faithful, people who will be loyal, people who will do what they're told to do, people who will obey. And if we'll be willing and obedient, praise God, God will use us. And he wants to use us not just so we can be blessed, he wants to use us so we can bless others. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We forget that. But God hates rebellion for what it does to others. God, we can tell you stories, you know, of innocent people that got affected by some selfish, you know, person, church member. And they went off half-cocked and, you know, had part of the story, but they didn't have all the story. Went out and began to just cause disruption and get people stirred up. Don't forget who you're called to follow. You're not called to follow those people. You're called to follow the man of God that the man of God said in his house. Can I hear praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now there's seven things. Now when I say that, now you're thinking, oh God, here we go. But it's not going to be that way. Unless you make it. Seven issues that true followers must reckon with. You got to receive your man of God as a gift from God. We talked about that this morning when we read Ephesians 4, 8 through 12. Remember we read that? That the pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is a gift to the body. It's not a gift to him. I'm a pastor. It's not a gift to me. The office that I stand in is a gift to the body. You see, when I sat down over here, I may not be operating at that time in that office. You got that? But whoever's operating in the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that's a gift from God to me, so I ought to be open and receptive to that. But then when God gives me authorization, or the leader of this house, being Pastor Nichols, gives me authorization to come up here and stand and minister like I did this morning, like I'm doing right now, then I am a gift to you. And if you receive that gift, then God can help you. If you turn that gift off and you close up to that gift, then God can help you. And if you get helped, I've got enough sense to know it's not me helping you, it's God helping me, helping you. You understand that? So you need not forget that you got to receive your man of God as a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, we talked about it. Number two, you must stand under your man of God and heed his instructions. People don't like that. But do you know, and I don't have time to teach this, but man, it's all throughout the Word of God, and it's just a great, great truth, a liberating truth. How many know all truth is liberating? But it's more important who you're under than who you're over. But we got so many fat cats, you know, around today, and you know, and they want to know, they want to let everybody know how important they are, and you know, I did this and I did that, and I'm over this and I do that. You know what's important? I want to say, who you submitted to? That's what's really important. Is anybody? Can anybody speak into your life and help you? Is there anybody you're submitted to that could correct you? You know, guys, like I said, I've been at this 43 and a half years, not as long as pastor, but I've learned a few things 43 and a half years. And men are very difficult to lead. And they're difficult to lead because most of them hadn't been fathered properly as a young man growing up. And they look at submission as being weak. They look at it as being weak. And I'm a clone, you know. I can think for myself. That's your problem. That's your problem. You're thinking things you shouldn't be thinking. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that the assignment of this gift is to keep watch over your soul. And over your soul means to help you with your thinking. Because when you get off, that's where your first place you're going to get off is with your thinking. Well, I thought. Life is not trial and error or guesswork. Life is too important. Life is too important. It's too valuable to live by trial and error. That's why he wants us to be led by the Holy Ghost. Yes. And if we have a man of God in our life that we can go submit that to, and we can stand under that man of God. I've called Pastor Nichols on several occasions. With just not necessarily, you know, in I have this too with personal things, but in pastoral duties and pastoral responsibilities. And you know, I had a slant on it. I was ready to get a gun, shoot him. This guy that I was dealing with, that deacon that wouldn't deek, and didn't tell God he died. But I would explain everything to Pastor, and I was sure he was going to say, "Here, I'll ship you the bullets." And we'll do a quick work here. The pastor would, in his way, said, "Brother Johnson, I know you're going to hear from God. And God's not going to tell you ever shoot anybody. So you're going to hear from God, and you're going to do the right thing at the end of the day. But you know, from my counsel would be this. Not my advice, my counsel. There's a difference between counsel and advice. You go to the world and get advice. You come to the man of God to get counsel." And see, we could teach a seminar on that. We could teach a seminar on the difference between counsel and advice. And most Christians don't know the difference. Most Christians just think, "Well, that's just his opinion." No, it's not an opinion. It doesn't have to be opinionated. You know what? We got so much going on in our life. We don't need to tell somebody else what to do. We don't have the time. But you know what? We're gifted. When the time is necessary to assist people, to help people, to give them godly counsel, we'll give them godly counsel. But you cannot give godly counsel to people who will not stand under. Come on. Can't do it. And so consequently, we have men, and do you know what men, what their number one problem is? Most men get off track chasing provision. More men get off track chasing provision. Most men think that God called them to be the provider, but he didn't. God says, "I want to be your provider." Now, man ought to have a work ethic. Come on, somebody. And he ought to go out and have a good work ethic and take care of his household. Yes, he ought to do all those things. But see, your wealth doesn't come from your job. Your seed comes from your job, and your wealth comes from your seed. Wow, that was a good word. I know you've heard that, but a truth you need never forget. Your wealth doesn't come from your job. Your seed comes from your job. Your wealth comes from your seed. Amen. So the provision that God has for you is in what he tells you to sow. Remember over in Malachi, Pastor read that this morning. He said, "You've robbed me in tithes and offerings." Tithe is the tenth, the first fruits of all of your increase. That's the tithe. The seed is whatever God speaks to you to sow. Every harvest has a seed. A farmer knows if he goes out and harvests his crops and he goes and sells all of his seed and eats all of his seed, what's he going to sow next year? He didn't have anything to sow next year. So the law of seed time and harvest was ordained by God. So men are not to be there to provider. God wants to be your Jehovah Jireh. He wants to be your provider, but you've got to hear from God. And I'll tell you what, you're not going to do very good if you're not standing under the man of God that God's put in your life. I said you're not going to do it.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:12. That's a good one. We urge you, brethren and sistern as well, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. See, they're over you in the Lord. I said they're over you in the Lord. Let me read you a real good one here. Paul's talking to Titus. Listen to what he says. Say, thank God for the word. People don't read scriptures like this very often. He's speaking to Titus, and he says this in chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Soberly means to save the mind. So we should live soberly. We should think right. The word is an adverb signifying acting in a responsible manner, sensible, prudently, being in self-control. You got that? So we think soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Listen to this. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Now, this is what the message says. Tell them all this. Build up their courage and discipline them if they get out of line. You're in charge. Don't let anybody put you down. That's Bible. That's Bible.
Thank you.
Who's in charge? Who authorized him? Head of the Church of Jesus. Come on, somebody. He authorized him. You're in charge. There's going to be people tell you they want to discharge you. But listen to me now. If you didn't authorize him, you can't unauthorize him. Just go down and try that with a Ford dealer tomorrow. It says authorized dealer. And you go down there and said, you didn't do good on my car, your services, so I'm unauthorizing you. I'm kicked. You can't do it because you didn't authorize it. Come on, somebody. Now, I hadn't quit preaching and gone to meddling. This is the Bible. So stand under your man of God and heed his instructions. Number three, esteem, value, and appreciate the gift that God gave you. Look at that. Esteem, value, and appreciate the gift that God has given you in your man of God. Everybody say esteem. Everybody say value. Everybody say appreciate. Yeah. That doesn't mean we get down and that doesn't mean that. It means we pray for them. We support them. We hear somebody running him down, talking against him. We correct them and say, don't talk about that in my presence. That's my man of God. That's a gift from God. And I'm not going to despise the gifts that God's given me. I esteem, I value, I appreciate the gifts that God's given me. You know when you do that, you're doing yourself a favor. It's like when you take good care of your wife, you're doing yourself a favor. Amen? Glory to God. This is Bible, folks. Now look at verse 13. You still there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13? And to esteem them, those who are over you in the Lord, very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Wow. Now here's what the message says. It's I'll read verse 12 and 13 out of the Message Bible. Listen to this. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Wow. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Huh? You doing it? Unto them you're doing is unto the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It gets quiet in here when you start talking about that. Number four, we're seven. Remember, there are seven of them. We're halfway now. Be generous with your man of God. Be generous with your man of God. That means pray over them. Speak the word of God over them. You know one of the best things you can do for, I know this personally, one of the best things you can do for me or for your man of God is just to pray and speak God's word over them. Just bless them out as often as you can. Amen. Bless means to say something good when you bless. Just be a blessing to them. Are you still with me? You're gone home. All right. Now, come on now. We're not exalting the flesh. We're exalting the gift that God has placed in our midst. Amen? These are seven issues that true followers must reckon with. Number five, pray for your man of God fervently. Now, that last one, I'd give you Galatians 6:6. We won't take time to read all that. Be generous with your man of God, Galatians 6:6. And there's many others. Number five, pray for your man of God fervently. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Number six, imitate your man of God. Now, how can you do that? I said it this morning. I gave you some clues this morning. My wife and I, we have watched this couple. We have scrutinized them. We watched them over the years. And we learn by observation. So we watched their lifestyle. Do you think Pastor loves Joy? Do you think Joy respects Pastor? Women have to be loved. Men have to be respected. When the men love their wife, the wife will respect her husband. Respect cannot be given. It has to be earned. Love is to see Joy, see our wives as valuable and precious. They're not just valuable when we need them for a meal, sex, huh? No. They're precious. There is no price that could be paid. There's nothing that could cause me to separate from something that's valuable and precious to me. Are you listening?
True.
So what's their lifestyle? Copy them. Imitate them. What did Paul say? He says, you imitate me as I imitate God. You follow me as I follow the Lord. And so you need to watch that. Don't pick up somebody in the church that, you know, that. They look pretty good and they're okay, and then after a while they kind of get critical and start talking critical, and then you let them influence. Don't do that. Run from them. See, the Lord didn't bring me to Calvary Cathedral International to follow you anyway. I just met you after I got here. And this is the bus I'm on. If you want to get off the bus and go somewhere else, okay. But if you're trying to throw my man of God under the bus, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to let you. Somebody says, well, you know, that's just man worship. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's God's way. Imitate your man of God, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Hebrews 13 and 7. Boy, and the Amplified is really good. Somebody got an Amplified Bible? Put it on the screen. 13, 7, Amplified. Wow, let's just feast our little beady eyes on this for a minute. We're closing. We just got one more point. We're almost there. Hebrews 13, 7, Amplified. Say thank God for Mark Calvary. Amen. And technology, and they're a wonderful thing. I don't carry an Amplified Bible. I call that the women's Bible. It's wordy. I tease my wife with that. She's listening online tonight. So, honey, I still love you. Remember your leaders. These are your leaders. Come on. Remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they, not Deacon Hornblower back here, that quit deacon. Come on, somebody. For it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. And their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Wow! Wow! Observe that. Wow, isn't that good? Wow. Number seven, we're there. Seven is number of completion. Keep your man of God's biblical traditions. Keep your man of God's biblical traditions. You know, traditions can be good, but they can be terrible. Jesus, dealing with the Pharisees, he says, your traditions have made my word of none effect. So if you got traditions over here with your heathen family, that's what's always amazed me, guys. People come to church and give prayer requests. Let's pray for my unsaved loved ones. Let's pray for them. And then they're going to have a family reunion, and they're not going to have it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. They're going to have it on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. And they're going to want you to come, but they don't want you to say anything about God. They don't want you to give testimony. They don't want you to know. And they don't want you to frown, look down on their drinking or their cursing or their immodest dress that their daughters are going to have or whatever. Am I preaching pretty good? Now listen to me, some traditions are okay. Some family traditions are God-based and biblical-based, and they're okay. But when they're not, I had some Christian family members, and we were in at Camp David. That was David Wilkerson's camp down here on Possum Kingdom Lake. And he would let us go there and use his camp. But I had to put an all-points bulletin out to my family, and they were Christians. And said, now I'm bringing my daughters, Amy and Carrie. And we will not tolerate bikinis on your children, on your daughters. I don't have sons at that time. I didn't have sons, just two daughters. But I don't want my daughters looking at your daughters thinking you're Christians and dad's some prude. And he won't let us wear bikinis, but he looks over here at his supposedly Christian, their Christian relatives, and they let them wear bikinis. Now I ask the question, I'm just a simple guy. You know, I'm from Texas, I'm simple. And you know, I come over to your house, and would you let your daughter or your son or daughter or your wife walk out in her bra and panties? Well, a bikini doesn't cover any more than bra and panties. Sometimes not as much. Well, if it's wrong for me to come over and sit in your living room and your daughter or your wife come out in her bra and panties, then why is it okay in the name of swimming? Amen. I'm just a simple man. I'm just a simple man. But I do have eyes. I have hormones. Come on, guys do. And this is where women need to be helped. Men turn on like a light bulb. Women, they kind of, like the old-fashioned iron, they come on slower. They got to be caressed and so forth. But boy, when you put that before the man's eyes, it cranks him up real quick. But you know, it wasn't me. I didn't want my daughters to be influenced like that. So I said, well, if you want Keith Johnson family there, then you'll abide by these things, and I laid some other things out. You're not let any of our unsaved that are living in adultery with somebody. I don't want to see that person they're committing adultery there, because I don't want my girls to think that's their relative. much less now homosexuality, and they're bringing their buddies, or lesbians. Come on. And we tolerate that. No, we don't tolerate sin. Come on. You learned that at university. You learned that from the Dallas Morning News. You didn't learn that from God. Are you listening? So you keep the traditions. I watch this man's holy. This woman's holy. They're pure. They're clean. I learned that. Are you listening to me? And if you don't take a stand for something, you'll fall for anything. How do you think my girls and how do you think my boys have kept themselves pure? How do you think they stood at a marriage altar and they were virgins? How do you think they married Christian men and women and are serving God today 24/7? That wasn't just by accident. This wasn't because mom and dad had good chemistry, so we produced good offspring. No, we took the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, and we trained the principles of the Word of God into our children 24/7. And we say, we're going to keep the ways of the Lord. And whatever it takes and whatever the Spirit of God tells me at the time, that's what we're going to do. And we never had a discussion on a Wednesday evening when somebody came home with homework from school. We never had a discussion if we come home and, you know, we had a hard day at work. Did we go to church tonight? That was never open for discussion. We go to church. It's for me and my house. We serve God. I got traditions from these people. But see, we pick up these traditions, you know, from neighbors, from, you know... We pick up traditions from people, and they're contrary to the Word of God. And then we wonder why things start coming unraveled and why things are not, you know, when we pray. Yeah, but you're supposed to do as well. Seven good things there, eh? Did I give you the scriptures on that seventh one? I'll go back and give you the scriptures. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I know that's what Paul was saying. You follow me as I follow the Lord. And then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Amen. I don't know if I've helped you, but I've helped me. Guys, this is really serious. This is really serious. We never lived in a day like we're living in right now. I do not know what awaits us the rest of 2012. I do not know everything we're going to face in 2013. But I'm sure the landscape is going to change. But you know one thing's not going to change? God's not going to change. God's not going to change. And I don't care what comes. I don't know what's coming. I don't have any idea what's coming. But I know the enemy's not going to have his way. The Mayas were not right. The end of the world is not coming on the 21st of December, whenever they said. Solstice, whenever, that 21st of December, I think. It's not going to happen. Now, do I think there's a possibility of something happening when the planets align themselves, and they've never done that for the last something like 35,000 years? Will there be some type of gravitational pull? But I know it's not going to be the end of the world. I know that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the European Union, do you? No. The Euro, it's about to crash, and if it does, it'll affect the whole world. They're literally propping one another up with toothpicks. The world's in a mess. Do you recognize that? Why don't deceive yourself and think, oh, well, we've been hearing this kind of stuff. No, you haven't been seeing the manifestation of this kind of stuff. You've been hearing about it, but not the manifestation. It's manifesting. I mean, it was like in Noah's day, you know, Noah, the preacher of righteousness, was talking about, hey, we're building an ark. God told us to build an ark. But I tell you what, when the animals started showing up, you know, I mean, somebody should have taken a cue, you know? Said, maybe I can connect some dots here. Maybe this preacher, you know, because he ain't the preacher bringing the animals in. But you know what? When you're self-deluded and you've done it for so long, It can be right before your face. And you were still.